Let's get into it. Let it be. Welcome back to another edition of the Long and Winey Show. I'm Jay Mix on the other side, and this week is the Flaming Pie Show, released in the U.S. on May 20th, 1997. What are your preliminary thoughts on this album, Mick?
While I was doing research on it last night and this morning, I was surprised at how long Paul had been working on this. There are a couple songs on here that date back to 92. And not just the writing of them, the recording of them dates back to 92.
Yeah, I think he stopped working on this to work on the Beatles anthology.
And I also read that EMI told him not to release anything for 2 years, just so that it wouldn't compete with anthology.
Really?
So he used that time to write a bunch more songs.
Well, what'd you think about this album?
I remember really liking this when it came out, but going over it just recently, I was kind of surprised by how many songs that just seemed like filler.
So that really?
That was a surprise. The songs that I did like, I still like, and like very much, but there are a lot of songs on here. There are more songs on here than I remember that are kind of skippable. So that's my preliminary thought.
All right, well, I'm shocked, because I was just going to say that this is kind of like the trilogy, starting with Flowers in the Dirt, ending with this album. I like this album a lot, but there's one song that I could do without, and I'll just say it's a Steve Miller tune.
Yeah, there's another Steve Miller tune on here that's skippable, and there's a song that reminds me of a Steve Miller song that's skippable, but he was not a part of.
Well, let's get into the first song, The Song We Were Singing. What'd you think?
This is okay. I like the idea of him getting nostalgic. But I'm already on record as saying that I don't like these start and stop songs. And this is another one where the verse is so much different than the chorus. They seem like they're two completely different songs. But it does have a nice sound. It's a nice way to start the album. It's a pretty easygoing song, so I can't ding it too much.
I like that acoustic feel. I like that a lot. I like this song a lot. Was there a steel guitar in there? I didn't know. I thought I heard one.
No, there might be a slide guitar, but I don't think there's a steel guitar.
Yeah, it might be a slide. And I thought the lyrics are really good, and I guess I agree with you. I like when he kind of looks back at his whole life and kind of waxes poetic about it. This kind of reminded me of a Beatles tune, actually. I liked it a lot. It was very pleasing to the ears. The World Tonight, which was the big single off this album. I think it was the first one, or maybe the second. I'm not positive, but did you like this song?
Yeah, I really don't have a lot to say about this song, but I do like it. It's just another fairly easygoing song. And I think this was in a Billy Crystal movie, wasn't it? Father's Day?
Yes, along with Young Boy.
Yeah, I knew there was another song off this album that was in some movie.
I like the lyric, "I go back so far, I'm in front of me," which reminded me of a Beatles lyric, what he would have wrote with John. It's a good mid-tempo rocker. I like that multi-vocal Paul's doing. He's doing his own harmonies, obviously. I think it sounds great, and the first two songs really pack a punch, and I like also when at the very end when he goes, "Looking in the future, see a kind of different light." I like the lyrics on this song, I think, are pretty, really, pretty good. The next one, and all of that ends with, him saying, "I can see the world tonight." I like that too. Third song, "If You Wanna," what'd you think?
Well, here's a Steve Miller song that we probably can agree is not that bad. And
you like this one?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I guess you don't like it.
I'm going to listen to you first.
Okay, I was reading the liner notes, and he talks about how this was his idea of one of those driving songs that you listen to when you're in a big car cruising across America. And so it does have that feel. It's an okay song.
Yeah, I like it. It's the one thing I like. It's a guitar-driven rock song. It doesn't really sound like the other ones we've heard so far. There's, you know, several guitars playing, you know, and it's really a full song, I guess. There's just really not much to the lyrics, and after listening to the first two songs, you would expect him to continue on lyrically, you know, with good lyrics, I guess. It's not a bad song, though. I like that breakdown in the middle when he goes, "If you want to love me," I thought that was kind of cool. And it the guitar work definitely kind of reminds me of the Off the Ground Sessions. It could have been Robbie McIntosh playing some of those leads. The song overall, it's okay. It's not as good as the first two. But this is not the Steve Miller song that I can do without. Mm-hmm. The third song is Some Days, and I can just want to get this out there, and I'll let you go. Did George Martin have something to do with this?
Yeah, he did the orchestration.
That's what I thought. You can tell right away. Go ahead. What'd you think?
All my notes say are very nice. That's it. That's all I wrote. It's a very nice song. And I do like the orchestration. It's a very pretty song, and I like it. I don't have anything more to add.
It reminds me of Yesterday, and I think that's where he was going. I don't believe that you were mine. Who won the match or scored the goal? Laugh to think how young we were. You know, he's looking back at his life. I'm wondering if it's a John song or is it about Linda? I guess it could apply to either one. The orchestration, like you already said, it's great. The vocal is very strong. The lyrics are great. And the guitar breakdown midway through when he goes into the "You Are Mine" falsetto is just fantastic. This is a very haunting lyric, the whole thing. And I like "Some Days I Look Into Your Soul." I just thought that was really cool. This is a great song. "Young Boy" from Father's Day. What'd you think?
This is a good song, too. And the only other thing that I noted was the "Whiter Shade of Pale" ending.
Oh, I didn't even catch that, but I guess I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. This is a very familiar sounding song. I mean, this definitely could have been a Beatles tune. Steve Miller doing backup, it's cool. You know, it's a catchy song. It is a strong song. I mean, the vocals obviously are great. "Find love, whatever you do, you know, come looking for you." I like all those lyrics. This should have been a hit in a different era of music listening. This would have been a hit for McCartney. This is just classic McCartney from beginning to end. The end breakdown, when they kind of slow it down, reminds me of the Beatles so much when he goes into "Love Will Come Looking for You" and he goes into the falsetto and on the "You" part. This is just a really good song. "Calico Skies," what'd you think?
This is a great song, and I like that it's just solo Paul. It's just him playing guitar, kind of like Blackbird. And
absolutely.
I guess this song was written after Hurricane Bob, because Paul was in Long Island at the time, and so that's what the Calico Skies refers to, the very cloudy skies after the hurricane. And this song was produced by George Martin, even though it's just Paul and an acoustic guitar. And it was recorded in 1992, so he sat on these tapes for, I don't know, 5 years till the album came out. 4 or 5 years till the album came out.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very, very good, pretty acoustic song. The lyrics are very, very strong. The vocal, the guitar, it's all great. And like you said, it's just Paul. And it's just really cool to hear him going back to that, just him playing alone again. Yeah, very, very, very strong song. "Flaming Pie." "Making love underneath the bed, shooting stars from a purple sky. I don't care how I do it, I'm the man on the flaming pie." What'd you think?
I like the story behind this song more than the song, I think, even though the song's okay. I've got nothing against it, but it seems like just an excuse to sing about the man on the flaming pie, even though that's John's creation.
And yeah, tell me the story. I know it already, but maybe our audience doesn't.
Is it in one of his books, Lennon's books? Is it in the Spaniard in the Works or something like that?
Yeah, it's a classic Lennon quote. I mean,
Because I know he fleshed it out into a kind of story. Because originally it was just a comment, I thought, and then he fleshed it out to a whole story where a man in a flaming pie comes down and says, "You are Beatles with an A. Thank right. you, Mr. Man," they said, thanking him.
Yeah, that's typical John. I kind of like how Paul kind of wrapped that into a lyric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it rocks, it thumps along, the vocals are great, the piano, you know. And this is definitely a Beatles song. I mean, it could have been. I mean, obviously, this could have been a Lennon-McCartney song. He used to play this live a lot in the 2005 tour. But obviously, we know now it's not been played live for quite a while. The vocals remind me of Lady Madonna. It has that kind of Lady Madonna feel to it, which is probably why it sounds, why we like it. I mean, it sounds very, very familiar.
Yeah, the one thing I don't like about the sound is the drums. It's got that typical Jeff Lynne drum sound that I really don't like, because Jeff Lynne was the producer on this track. And I hate the drums that Jeff Lynne always puts on an album. It's got that, like, a fat, flabby pfft sound. It doesn't even sound like drums. It's just pfft.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, Jeff Lynne was the big producer on this album.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And he kind of worked with them on the Anthology project, and it carried over onto this album.
Yep.
You know anything more about that? You want to?
No, that was it. It was just he worked with Jeff Lynne on the two songs and enjoyed it. And Jeff Lynne is obviously a huge Beatles fan, and that was that. They just continued to collaborate.
And I think it's, so far, what we've talked about, it's been pretty successful.
And also, Jeff Lynne had a hand in the Traveling Wilburys, so he'd worked with George Harrison as well.
Absolutely. Heaven on a Sunday, what'd you think?
I really like this song, although I cringe at the Devin on a Monday rhyme. I thought that was that was a bit labored. I was reminded while skimming through the liner notes that Paul and his son duet on this song, his son James yep. McCartney.
Yep.
Paul plays acoustic guitar solo, and James McCartney does the electric guitar solo in the middle of the song.
Yep.
And also, Paul plays harpsichord.
Oh, well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, toward the end.
Yeah, this is a straight-up ballad, and I think it's worth the wait. Musically, it just sounds great. If I only had one love, yours would be the one I choose. It's just a great McCartney lyric. Like you said, Paul's son, James, plays the electric solo. And I believe that's Linda doing the harmonies in the background, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's on a few of these tracks.
That's it.
Yeah, when you hear that, it just really makes you miss her for Paul McCartney. I mean, she was just such a big part of his post-Beatles career, and it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, it was during the making of this album that they learned that she had cancer.
Yeah, and that's why he didn't tour for the album. He did a lot of specials where I know he did one for VH1 where it was just him and some goofy VJ, and they took a bunch of questions from the audience, and it was broadcast around the world. The same time around the world, it was live, and they were taking phone calls. He didn't play, though. I don't think he refused to play any songs off the album live. I don't remember one performance of him playing something off this album, and I think it was Little Willow for some PETA event that was broadcast on ABC back when this album first came out. But very little promotion was done musically for this album because Linda was sick, and we didn't know that at the time because he didn't talk about it. Used to Be Bad, the other Steve Miller song. What'd you think?
Yeah, this is the song where Steve Miller actually sings. I don't think he has any lead vocals in the other songs, but he does on this one. And This was the song that I hated so much that I never ripped it into iTunes when I ripped this original CD back in, was it 2007, I think, was when I first put this CD into my iTunes library. But then I ripped it into my library just last week in preparation for this very show, and listening to it again, it's not that bad, but I still don't like it. There's actually a track on here that I like less. I thought this was the song that I hated the most on this album, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
But it's just lazy. The riff is okay, but it's slower than it should be. It's just a lazy riff. It's lazy songwriting and it's lazy performance, and I just don't like it.
Well, I mean, let's just call it what it is. This is a Steve Miller Band song with Paul McCartney singing lead. I mean, this is not a Paul McCartney song. You're right, it's very lazy songwriting, and that's what Steve Miller's built a 40-plus year career on. Of course, I mean, people are going to say, oh, he has such and such a song that's good, that, you know, he does have some good songs, but, you know, he's not he's not going to go down the annals of songwriting as a great songwriter. The guitar work is good. The vocals obviously are good. This song is just not as good as the song before it, or the song before that, or the song before that, and so on. And, yeah, this sounds like they had fun doing this, but for the listeners, it's unfortunately it's not there for us. And that's all I had to say about that. Souvenir is the next song. What do you think? Or do you want to give a rebuttal?
No, I don't. It's a bluesy kind of track, but it just doesn't have the rawness that you'd expect from a blues track. So it's okay, but it just seems like it should be better. And I was just reading today in the liner notes that Paul liked his demo so much that they tried to recreate it. And I think that might be the problem. They might have been too precise in what they were doing instead of just getting raw and sloppy like they were with Used to Be Bad. Instead of doing a crappy first take like Used to Be Bad, they should have just done a raw... what's the other word?
I know where you're going.
Just kind of a loose, raw take for Souvenir, and it might have been better sounding than what they came up with. Souvenir is still a good song, but it misses the mark from being a really great blues song. Which,
yeah,
I think is what they were trying for.
Yeah, I think they're definitely trying for that bluesy rocker, but I think he kind of elevates it. I think is it as good as the rest of the album? No. But it's still good, though. I mean, the vocals are just so great. I like that part, "I can hold you too tight, I can never let you go." It's just a fun song, and the guitar sounds great. And it ends with that crackling record feel. And Paul's voice kind of is in a megaphone, like on Ram. And this kind of reminds me of a Ram song, which is probably why I like it more than I should like it. I like this song, but it's not as good as the rest of the album. Little Willow.
This song's in running for best song of the album.
Really?
I love this song. And the liner notes say it was written for the kids of a dear friend whose mother had passed away. And I found out from another source that it's Ringo's kids that this song was written for, following the death of Maureen Starkey from cancer.
Yeah, Ringo's first wife.
Yeah,
That was awesome.
And I also remember that this song was used on a Princess Di tribute album after she passed away, along with the Elton John "England's Rose" song.
So this is your favorite song on the album, huh?
It's in the running. There are a couple other tracks that I really, really like, but "Little Willow" and "Calico Skies" are standouts for me, along with the other couple songs that I really, really, really like on this album.
Yeah, this is another strong song vocally, lyrically, guitar, piano. This has a Beatle tinge to it. It's just very, very pretty. And my notes, of course, like you already mentioned, this was written for Ringo's kids, and that's just awesome. And this song is good enough to be remembered by the kids. I mean, this is a really nice tribute. for them. This is a fantastic song from start to finish. And this is something definitely he should bring out with him just on the acoustic live and see if he can just muddle through this still. Then even if his voice cracks, the song is good enough, it doesn't matter. Big thumbs up. Really love you. Next song, what'd you think?
This song is in the running, along with Used to Be Bad, as my least favorite track on the album. Which is a shame, because it's got Ringo. It's a Ringo and Paul collaboration. It's actually the first credited song to McCartney and Starkey.
Okay.
But it's another one where it's just like a one-take jam. And it's got a better riff than Used to Be Bad. But it's got really stupid lyrics that you could tell Paul's coming up with off the top of his head, trying to make a rhyme. And it's also way too long. I think it's the longest. It's the longest song in the album, and it really gets on your nerves after a while. After when it passes the 3 minute mark, then it starts getting really annoying.
Well, what'd you think of the bass work?
Yeah, it's got a great riff. But they really should have. In the liner notes, he said that Ringo was going to participate in the next song, and they enjoyed working together so much that they came up with this jam. They continued recording, and they came up with this "Really Love You" jam. So this is basically just them screwing around, and it turned into a song on the album.
It feels like that, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. That's my problem with it. It'd be fine if they recorded the basic tracks, but I think Paul should have taken the basic tracks and then worked on them and then released the song instead of just doing a one-take demo and putting it on the album.
Yeah, good bass, you know, old kind of rock vibe, unique guitar sound. The vocals, well, once he really gets into it, he's having fun. The rails kind of go off at about the 228 mark, and there's just not a lot to the song. And then it's just Paul riffing around again. I mean, this would have been a cool bonus track when he re-released this album in another 10 years, but I'm not sure that it fits on the album. And like you said, it's but we've just been saying, it's just a messing around the studio, and I know you kind of look down on that, and for once, I guess I'm agreeing with you. I'm not going to skip this song because I like the album as a whole, and I like listening to the whole thing. It's got that cool keyboard sound in it, he has fun vocally, but there's just not much to it, unfortunately. Beautiful Night.
Some boats gone out fishing, some boats high and dry, some boats on mission to the lonely Lorelei. Some folks got a vision of a castle in the sky, and I'm left stranded wondering why.
I think this redeems big time. So what'd you think?
Yeah, this is a much better way to end the album. The song was originally written in 1986, and Paul had been working on it since then. I think it's a pairing of two different songs, the Lovely Lorelei part and the Beautiful Night part, and then there's a big jam at the end. And I really like the ending because it has some George Martin horns, orchestrated by George Martin. And the brass section at the end is really cool. I really like the way they, I really like what they add to it. And I also got a kick out of, you can tell that Paul and Ringo are singing at the end. They're doing the Beautiful Night part. And you can really hear Paul and Ringo. So it's kind of cool to hear the two of them singing background vocals.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, here we go. A very Beatly sounding song. The lyrics are great. Ringo's on the drums. And he has a lot to do in this song. It's epic. This should have been a hit, but musically, the kids nowadays don't know a good song if an anvil would hit them on the head. There's a violin that comes in the left ear at the the two something mark, which I never had heard before. So you play it on earbuds, you hear different stuff. Things Can Go Bump in the Middle of the Night, Let Me Be There in the Dead of the Night. I like that. And I put down Reminds Me of a George Martin production, but as we know now, it is. I like how the song kind of just rocks out at the end for the last minute or so, and then you hear, like you just said, Paul and Ringo doing their beautiful night part together. This is just a strong, fun song from beginning to end, and this is definitely one of McCartney's latter years' best songs. And I like that when it ends with Ringo saying, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. And then, you know, that reminds me of him on the Broad Street album when he kind of makes a comment about, do we really have to do that song? And Paul says, oh, yeah, of course we do, or something like that. Then they go into a song on the Broad Street album. This is a friggin' awesome song. It's on a playlist of mine. I just love this song. The last song is Great Day. What'd you think?
This is really nice, too. It was also recorded in 92 along with Calico Skies, and it's another George Martin production. And I really like the restraint that George Martin showed with Calico Skies, where even though he was the producer, it was just Paul and acoustic guitar, and that's it. And Great Day is kind of like that, but they do add a little bit more instrumentation to it. But it's a really nice song, and it's a nice, quiet way to end the album.
Yeah, this could have been Ram. This reminded me of another Ram song. Linda's on backup vocal. Great guitar by Paul. You can really hear him playing the guitar. You know, as his hand goes up the neck of the guitar, you really hear that. And that's so cool. It's almost like this, you know, this is the first and only take. And it's just really cool. The lyrics are great. And what a great way to end a really, really good album. That's it. I mean, Great Day was it, and it really is a hell of a way to end this album. That's Flaming Pie. So what's your roundup remarks?
I would like to think this was the ending part of the Flowers in the Dirt trilogy, but I just don't think it's as good as those other two albums. It does have some really great songs, but it also has some big clunkers. And it also doesn't have the polished full sound that Off the Ground and Flowers in the Dirt have. I think this has a kind of thinner sound. A lot because Paul didn't work with a band for a lot of these songs. According to the liner notes, it looks like it was a lot like McCartney and McCartney 2, where McCartney played all the instruments for a lot of these songs.
Right, yeah, he didn't have a band after the anthology was over. There was no Paul McCartney band.
Yeah, but he didn't even hire studio musicians. He just did everything himself for a lot of these tracks and then worked with a couple friends on a couple other tracks.
Well, I mean, don't you got to respect that, though?
Yeah, but I just don't like the end result. I can respect the idea of it, but it just doesn't have the nice fleshed-out sound that those other two albums have. It sounds like demos. Like I was complaining about way back in the beginning of our solo album reviews.
So, tell me the standout songs then from 1 to 14. What were the standout songs?
Well, the two I like the most are Calico Skies and Little Willow. And I also like Some Days and Heaven on a Sunday, Great Day, Beautiful Night. And, you know, one or two others. And, like I said already, the ones that I really don't like are Used to Be Bad and Really Love You.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on both of those. All right, well, I mean, I still really like this album. I liked it when it came out, but I don't know if I agree with you at that. There is some, I hate to call them clunkers, though. I just hate to do that.
The only one that pains me is Really Love You, because it's got Ringo on it. It's a Paul and Ringo collaboration, and it hurts to admit that it's one of my least favorite tracks.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I still recommend this album, though. Maybe it isn't. Maybe, like you said, you can't put it on par with Flowers in the Dirt and Off the Ground. But you had some problems with Flowers in the Dirt too.
Yeah. But I like the sound of it. And oh, I'm not a big fan of the sound of Flaming Pie. It sounds too thin. Like they weren't finished with it when they decided to put it out.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, if you're comparing this to Off the Ground, and Off the Ground is just a fantastic album. I mean, I can't compare this to Off the Ground, but on its own, I think this album was a big comeback for him after not recording solo for so many years. And it sold big time in the U.S. and in the U.K., and it was a big hit internationally, and it kind of reignited his solo career. And of course the bottom kind of falls out a year. This is released. Did I say 97 this came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. The bottom kind of falls out a year later. Linda dies. He goes into seclusion and we don't hear anything from him for a good year and a half. Then all of a sudden we get the announcement of Run Devil Run, which is the next album. And couple of original songs on that album, but it's mostly a kind of like a Russian album feel to it again. It's old songs that he liked as a kid, and he's putting his own spin on them. And a small club tour for that album, but nothing here in the States. So, yeah, I mean, this could have been the start of something really, really big, but unfortunately, you know, Linda passed away, and you know, we had to wait another couple of years before he decided to tour again. And at one point, he thought he was really done with public performing altogether. So this album is Caught in Time, and, you know, it's kind of sad when you think about it. I still recommend it wholeheartedly. Any news this week you want to share before we wrap up?
Well, we finally got a chance to get our hands on the Tug of War and Pipes of Peace Deluxe Editions. They came out at the beginning of the month. And I was looking for the high-def audio versions of those. And I was very disappointed to find out that the versions at HD Tracks were only 44.1 kHz and 24-bit, which is only slightly better than CD. That's a big drop from the 96 kHz that all the other Deluxe Editions were available at.
So did you get them?
I found out afterward that the way you can get the 96 kilohertz version is through buying the CD edition, and it had a download code to get the 96 kilohertz version.
Oh, wow.
So there is an HD version available. It's just a shame that that's not the version Paul's putting on sale.
Gotcha. So
I thought that was a bit of a sneaky move, which he hasn't done with the other deluxe editions. This is the first time he did it. So I thought that was I didn't like that that way of thinking. I didn't like him the way they did that. And it's the bonus stuff on the deluxe editions is kind of interesting, but it's a lot more demo stuff than I kind of like.
Yeah. Wonderlust off Tug of War is eerily sounds like the clip you edited into our show weeks ago.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if it's the same. I mean, the demo would be the demo.
But there's a song on there, one of the two, called Rain Clouds, which is kind of interesting. I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're all really rough cassette tape type things. Paul on piano. And
yeah.
Just recording it for himself. Yep. It's not like they are studio demos. But I kind of like the rare uncovered songs or the unfamiliar B-sides. I like when they put together a big compilation of everything instead of just the, you know, the demo, the cassette demos.
Well, I don't think we'll get that until he redoes Flowers in the Dirt and Off the Ground.
Yeah, hopefully. He might just do demos for that, too, and screw everybody. Make you have to collect everything all over again.
I hope not.
And I don't know if we mentioned this, but the Beatles 1 album is being remastered.
We didn't talk about it, no.
Yeah.
Give me the skinny.
I remember when I first heard about the remaster, I was kind of surprised because the Beatles 1 CD was remastered when it came out. I didn't think it was old enough to warrant a remaster. But apparently they're putting together a big, huge package. It's not just the same tracks as on Beatles 1. There's going to be a separate disc. There's going to be a separate DVD of all the Beatles, of the big Beatles music videos. So you're going to be able to have not only the audio singles, but the music videos as well. And then there's an expanded edition called One Plus that's going to have a separate, a third disc. Oh, that was me. That's going to have a third disc of alternate music videos and rarer music videos.
Yeah.
So that's probably the one to go for, I guess, would be One Plus.
How much is that going to run you?
I don't know.
Are you thinking about picking it up?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to, just for those videos, because I think they'd be pretty interesting. The cool thing is they're releasing them on Blu-ray, so you're going to be able to get high-def versions of those videos. And they remastered those, too. They cleaned them up and recolored them, so it's going to be like the best they've ever looked. So I'm interested in it just for that. Because I don't need the Beatles 1 music over again, but I am interested in the music videos.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a big fan of the Beatles music videos, because they are pretty crappy, but I just like the idea of getting footage of the Beatles in their prime, looking young and on top of the world. I think that'd be cool, just as footage of the Beatles, instead of as music videos.
Yeah, that's the only reason I want it. The trailer was very endearing and really made you kind of change your mind once you watch the trailer. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that too. That comes out in the middle of November, just in time for the holiday rush.
Yep. Yeah, they're no dummies.
And yesterday, or October the 9th, was John Lennon's 75th birthday. Would have been his 75th birthday.
And Sean's 40th birthday.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Sean Lennon's 40th. And that would have been quite the soiree if John would still have been with us. So a lot of stuff came out yesterday about that. And, of course, they got snippets from Yoko talking about John. And then, of course, the angry Beatle fans commented, a lot of comments from the angry Beatle fans telling Yoko to shut up because she wasn't even around when half the songs were written. And I kind of got a smile about that. Other than that, the tour launches. The first date of the Paul McCartney tour is coming up. October 13th in Columbus, Ohio. October 15th in Pennsylvania at the Bryce Jordan Center. And then on the 21st at the JLA. There's probably a date in between there. I'm almost positive there is, but it's not listed where I'm at now. Short stint, hopefully, as we've mentioned privately, Paul will be in good voice and put on a show with songs we haven't heard in a while. So songs I don't want to hear are Jet. What else? That's the big one. I can do without Jet. And unfortunately, I'm going to say Hey Jude. Mm-hmm. What do you got? Any songs that you're not looking forward to hearing?
That's an interesting question. Not off the top of my head. I can't think of anything. I wouldn't mind skipping Hey Jude, but there's not a chance of that, so.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
We probably should have talked about Paula's Live.
Yeah, we kind of skipped over that.
Which is the live CD that came out after Off the Ground, which I ripped into iTunes just recently, even though I've had it for a while. I've had it since 93.
Yeah, you want to talk about the cover before we...
The cover is great. The title is great, and the cover is great. The cover idea is great. The cover is not as good as it should because Paul's doing that stupid T shape while he's walking his dog. That looks kind of stupid. But I do like the idea, and I love the title.
Yeah, there's a bunch of clues that Paul is not really dead. All over the front of the album, it's the recreation of the Abbey Road album, which is Paul and his dog walking across Abbey Road. And I think it says something like 55 if on a license plate or something like that. And it's kind of him making fun of the whole nonsense about him being dead. The title is fantastic. And the live recordings are really, really good. You want to go back and talk about that in a future show? Or
Yeah, well, the recording isn't as good, as nice sounding as Tripping the Live Fantastic is. You can pretty much tell that this is supposed to be a companion to that, because not a single song off Tripping the Live is also on Paula's Live, I think.
That's true.
There might possibly be an exception, but I really don't think so. And that's kind of the reason I didn't like Paula's Live to begin with, because I really wanted it to be a souvenir of the tour. And instead, it's all they did was they took... It's a single CD set compared to Trippin' the Live, which was two CDs, but really filled up CDs. And all they did was take the songs that were new to this tour and put those on a CD without anything else, without any of the older songs also included. So it's nice as far as that goes, but it's not a complete representation of what that second tour was.
No, it's not. Do you want to cover it in a future show?
Yeah, I guess. I think we should. I'm very tempted to launch into it right now. Matter of fact, since I'm looking at the title, I'm looking at the track listing. So yeah, we should.
I haven't heard it in a while, so I'll have to hear it. But all right, well, what should we do next week then? So. You tell me what you want to do next week.
Run, Devil, Run, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the next
album? That's the next album. Then do you want to go back after since the following show would be our live McCartney wrap-up show, should we just kind of riff off about Paula's Live then in conjunction with our own feelings about our live experience? Sound good?
Oh, okay.
That might be fun.
Okay.
All right, so next week we'll do Run, Devil, Run. Have you heard that album before we get out of here?
No, I have not heard a thing from that album.
And does the idea of him doing old songs again appeal to you? Or?
I guess.
Well, it's not Kisses on the Bottom, let's just say that. It's much better. All right, that's it. So thank you for joining us, and I guess I'll just throw it back to Mick to tell everybody where to find us before we get out of here.
The website is at thelongandwinyshow.com. We're also on Facebook, look for Long and Whiny, and Twitter, look for Long and Whiny. And you can email us at podcast@thelongandwinyshow.com.
All right, we'll see you guys next week for another edition of the show. Have a good week, and check out Flaming Pie on your various streaming services. It's on Apple Music, it's on Spotify, and then this morning I found it on YouTube. So it is out there. Track it down. See you guys next week.